Truth warriors fighting to be free. That's what we are, folks. Welcome. This is Yahweh's Covenant People. This is Eurofolk Radio, and tonight we're going to be doing part 9 of our series on Who is Esau Edom by Charles Wiseman. My co-host tonight is Pastor Steve, and we're going to pick it up on page 84 of the document. Again, the title is Who is Esau Edom by Charles Wiseman. And I'll just pick it up, Steve, here on page 84 with the caption from the photograph. President Franklin D. Roosevelt receives the Zeta Beta Tau fraternity Gatil medal from 6 Edomite Jews for distinguished service to Jewry. Of course, they don't say that in the award. for distinguished service to America, right? But actually, the caption is correct. For distinguished service to Jewry, Washington, D.C., May 17, 1937. Roosevelt had appointed a large number of Jews to govern agencies and departments. Now, why would Roosevelt appoint so many Jews, bypassing so many Americans, to his various cabinet posts and government agencies?
Oh, that's because he is one.
Yes, yeah. I know that the Delano family is certainly Jewish.
And, well, Rosenfeld, Roosevelt, that's pronounced in their tongue over there, wherever he's from, but it's Rosenfeld.
Right. Which means
basically... Well, the same way Harry S. Truman's birth name was Solomon Shiffrin.
Uh-huh.
He changed his name legally. Well, then he was Harry Truman.
Right. True Truman.
Oi, I'm a true man. Such a deal I got for you.
Harry True Jew becomes a true man, right?
You want to buy a used nuclear bomb?
Yes, yeah. And $2 million.
Only used once over Hiroshima.
And $2 million from B'nai B'rith to recognize the State of Israel.
Oh,
right?
Talk
about a total scandal. Yeah. All right, so
plus
anyway.
I recognize this state. I got relatives there.
Yeah.
Oy.
Yes, yeah, very rich relatives, persecuted rich relatives, yes.
Oh, my suffering. I'm suffering. The Holocaust. Oh. Yeah.
Still suffering.
Oh, I can't help it.
Yeah, right. This is
I love to do that.
It is a real
I've
joke.
Got that pretty much down pat.
Yeah, people believe that actually happened. No, folks, it's just another Jew joke. But let's continue here. Again, page 84, Wiseman says, Jews have had an influence over every president and many congressmen ever since Woodrow Wilson, some of whom have directly taken orders from Jews in and outside of government. Well, Woodrow Wilson directly took orders from Colonel Mandel House, who was the agent of the Rothschilds and his handler. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So every American should know that every single president since Woodrow Wilson has had a Jewish handler, and it was Barney Baruch that handled Roosevelt. Okay.
Well, that's what I'm worried about now. This guy that has got in Trump. Look who he's got surrounding him. I mean, we've already exposed that he's got Jews all over him, like ticks on a Georgia hound, man.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah. The ticks must be bad in Georgia. All right.
Oh,
just
man.
Like Jews in D.C., right?
Yeah.
Some of these Jews include Paul Warburg, Henry Morgenthau, Bernard Baruch, Robert Strauss, Herbert H. Lehman, Eugene F. Meyer, who was a mobster, and the father of Catherine Meyer Graham, who owns the Washington Post newspaper, so they have no influence at all.
My. Say it ain't so.
Judges Brandeis and Cordoza and Rabbi Stephen A. Wise, who was the head rabbi of the United States at the time, Felix Frankfurter, Henry Kissinger, and many others. As early as 1920, a large Jewish influence in government was noted by Henry Ford, quote, the Jews, a political minority so far as votes are concerned, were a political majority so far as influence was concerned during the last 5 years. They ruled. They boast that they ruled. The mark of their rule is everywhere. And this is from The International Jew by Henry Ford. By the way, that's a book that everybody should read, The International Jew. Go out
of
your way.
He was so right, and we didn't want to listen to him.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because he was an anti-Semite, right? So you know,
he was an anti-Jew.
That's right. There you go. The Jews and
like
many
David,
white...
like David James says, he doesn't use that anti-Semite.
Yes,
he's an anti-Jew because we are the Shemites with
that's
an
right.
SH.
That's right.
Descended from Shem, which is Israel.
Amen.
And they just keep trying to impersonate us and steal our birthright. And I'm just not going to give them anything, Eli.
Right.
Neither are you.
Of course.
Neither is David James. I mean, we just beat up on them all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's and, what EFR is here for, is to be a wall of protection between the Jews and its white victims. And there have been millions, if not billions, of white victims of Jewry since 1815, when the House of Rothschild became the most powerful banking house in the world. But that's another story. Let's continue here. The Jews in many white nations have formed political lobbying groups whose influence and power are second to none. In America, the Jewish lobby has 125 political action committees, PACs, whose political clout is kept concealed from the public. These PACs are controlled by the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, political action versus public affairs, still PAC, which is a branch of the Israeli embassy in Washington. AIPAC is thus a lobby for a foreign government. Absolutely, that's what it is. And they have undue influence with our politicians through bribery, intimidation, blackmail, assassination, and whatever tricks are up the Jew sleeve. These Jewish PACs can get pro-Israeli politicians elected, have pro-American and Christian politicians defeated, manipulate foreign policy, control immigration, draft legislation, and pressure congressmen as to how to vote. Thus, Congress is in actuality a Judaic legislative body. Well, I would have to agree with that 100%.
I have no disagreement with that either.
Yeah. Next section. Edom's one world government. And those of you who've been listening to your folk radio should be very familiar with the fact that we state all the time that the Jews run a world government. It's called the United Nations, and they have been working toward that, and everything they do is so the governments of the world can be under Jewish control.
Yeah, the United Nations.
There
yes.
you go. Jacob, as inheritor of the birthright, had the right to have dominion in the earth and was promised that his descendants would spread throughout the earth, Genesis 28:14, becoming a multitude of nations... Genesis 48:4-19. Have the Jews become a multitude of nations in the earth?
Well, they haven't become one nation yet.
Okay.
They're still fighting over that little patch of land over there that we used to occupy.
Yeah.
And it's not even called a nation. It's called a state.
Yes.
And it's more a state of corn fusion than anything else.
Right.
They have infiltrated and infested, they have infested a lot of nations. They're all over the world in small quantities here and there, but their money buys them big influence.
That's right.
And that's the only way they get into the nations is to subvert and pervert the nation's monetary system. As outlined by Great Daddy Rothschild, he said, if I control the nation's money, I don't care who they elect.
That's right.
I control the whole nation. Well, that's what they've done. They got the Federal Reserve Bank, and they've got the Bank of England and the Bank of this and the Bank of that. And didn't Brazil just ban them?
Yeah, and I think...
Wasn't that Brazil? Or was that one of the other ones? I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, might have been Peru. But, yeah, there's more of that going on all the time. The first nation to do that was Iceland, throwing the banksters out and declaring a boycott against Israeli goods. So that's what
they'll have a war against Iceland They'll have Icelandic terrorists, and we'll have to bomb them.
Yes, that's right. That's right. All right.
Yeah, they threw snowballs at one of our ships.
Yeah, right. Yes, yes. Any excuse to start a war. Edom's plan to overcome this is by creating a world government under its control. That is, the Jews, who are the descendants of Edom. For those of you who haven't heard the first eight parts of this, the Jews are Edom in the modern world. Once all nations become democracies, socialist states, or communist regimes, it is an easy step to get them to come under a one-world control. To attain this world government, some means must be procured through which it can be administered and enforced. That vehicle is, as we just stated, the United Nations. The United Nations, like the League of Nations, was a Jewish plan and concept. It was promoted and supported by Jews, and it serves Jewish and Zionist goals. A couple of years after the establishment of the United Nations, the Jew David Ben-Gurion stated, quote, "Our, that is our Jewish policy, must be the unity of the human race. The world is divided into two blocks. We consider that the United Nations ideal is a Jewish ideal." And, of course, the unity of the human race.
That's ideal for the Jews.
Yeah, that's ideal for the Jews. The unity is underneath Jewish control, the unity of the human race. When a nation becomes a member of the United Nations, it surrenders its sovereignty and independent status. It now becomes subject to the international law of Edom and is not free to decide its own destiny. This was made evident through the events of the Iraqi War, Desert Storm. The United States did not act according to the Congressional Act or pursuant to its Constitution, but to a UN resolution. America is not a sovereign nation anymore, he should say. It is subject to the dictates of the Edomite-controlled United Nations. The world program that it follows is a Jewish program, quote, "Jewry's political outlook is world rule in the material sense. Jewry is an international nation. It is this, or it should say an international movement, and ethnicity, not nation. It is this and nothing else which gives significance to its financial, educational, propagandist, revolutionary, and immigration programs." Again, this is Henry Ford. I told you should buy that book. "At the forefront of this one-world plan is the war against nationalism, which is the greatest threat and obstacle for the Jews to confront in their ultimate plan, plus Christianity. Thus, propaganda against national independence and sovereignty is always promoted by the Jews. No other group of people has been motivated against nationalism since each has always had its own nation. However, the Jew is a, quote, citizen of the world." Okay.
Now, parasite of the world.
Yes, there you go. "One world dominion has long been a plan of the Jews. This is prevalent in their Zionist movement, which is part of the Jewish ideal of ruling the world. This plan was made explicit by the Jew and CFR member James P. Warburg, who was the founder of the Federal Reserve Bank, in testifying before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February 17, 1950, stating, 'We shall have world government whether you like it or not. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent.'" Okay, well, if you kill people hard enough, they eventually consent. The Jew Baruch Levy, back in the by the way, the United Nations has not created a single moment's worth of peace since it was created. The Jew Baruch Levy, back in the mid-1800s, had clearly expressed the ultimate goals of the Jews, quote, "The Jewish people as a whole will be its own Messiah. It will attain world dominion by the dissolution of the other races. By the abolition of front, since they aren't a race themselves, they're a breed, they're already the most mixed breed of people that ever existed, which explains why they have all these genetic diseases. By the abolition of frontiers," how about George Soros and his Open Borders Incorporated? Okay. The Jews are still continuing this propaganda and this political regime to this moment. The annihilation of monarchy, and monarchies are virtually annihilated. Any Even the Queen of England is just a figurehead, having really no power. And by the establishment of a world republic, oh, yes, that's deceptive language, isn't it?
world democracy.
Yeah, world democracy. Rule. World dictatorship.
In they which destroyed the American Republic. They're yes. not republic-minded.
That's right.
They don't want a republic. That's too much like freedom.
That's right. A world republic in which, again, this is the Jew, Baruch Levy speaking, in which the Jews will everywhere exercise the privilege of citizenship. In this new, without having created a nation of their own, still haven't done it, in this new world order, remember George Bush used that term? There will be a new world order. The Jews will furnish all the leaders without encountering opposition. The governments of the different peoples forming the world republic will fall without difficulty into the hands of the Jews. Well, okay, how can Baruch Levy be so confident in this statement? Pastor Steve, what do you say?
Well, they all work together.
Uh-huh.
Even if they don't like one another, they're going to support one another.
Right.
We have a problem doing that. We, as the white race.
Yes.
We're so bullheaded and stubborn in many ways that we don't realize that we have to help one another as Israelite brothers and sisters. And we've had a problem doing that because of our independent nature. We need to rethink things and get together before it all comes down so
yes.
The remnant can survive. Now, I see a great deal of progress, especially within and because of the Christian identity people that have been teaching this and really hammering it
yes.
and bringing all the truth of what we've been saying to public attention, exposing these vampires that have been sucking us dry for all these yeah. years. And we've been the warriors on the front line. And if you don't think it's a war, ladies and gentlemen, you better think again, because it most certainly is a war. It's a war for our survival as a species. They want to eliminate the white race.
Yes.
Actually, they want to eliminate all the other races, but they target us especially because we the white people are the true Israelites. We are Jacob Israel, and they are of Edom, and they have hated us down through the centuries and continue to assault us in one manner or another through their subtleties and lies and monetary corruption, even corrupting some of our people. Some of our people have been bought off. They could not accomplish what they have accomplished without some of our people in absolute collusion with these people.
Yes.
Because of the me mindset and the materialism that we have sunk into, we no longer have a racial identity in our mind that we are for our own people. That has been bred and propagandized
yes.
out of our people. And that is the problem. The mindset of our own people
yes.
is not that of survivalist white people.
Yes.
And survivalist white people are what built this nation.
That's
so
right.
We need to return
right.
to that survivalist white mindset. Over to you.
Yeah, is it not the Jews who have created this white guilt complex, which has beaten the white race down?
Some guilt just for being white. Such
yeah.
nonsense.
Yes.
I don't owe anybody any reparations for anything.
You don't?
You know, we as a people were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. Longer yeah, than anybody else. Why don't the Egyptians pay us?
Right. That's right. because they make up their own rules, and as long as they control the press, they can keep making up rules and government, etc. We just pointed out how much influence the Jews have with Franklin D. Roosevelt, and you know, and virtually every other president since Woodrow Wilson. So, but I would say also, the track record of the Jews since 1815 has been to pit one white nation against another. And if a particular white nation doesn't go along with the Jewish program of world government and world revolution, then it's easy, since they have so much money, to buy a war and eliminate any government that would choose to remain independent from Jewish control. Okay? And this, so I think that Baruch Levy can state with all confidence in 1928, when this was written, knowing the track record that the Jews have had since 1815 in eliminating opposition by, well, didn't Isaac say that Esau would live by his sword? By staging wars? And
Not necessarily his sword, swords of others that they buy.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy who hires the hitman is just as guilty as the hitman, right? And that's what the Jews are. They are the world's assassins, using hired labor to do the assassination. Okay.
So, yeah, dead's dead. They don't care how you get dead. They just want you dead.
That's right. And also the Illuminati program, which is totally Jewish from the get-go. Meyer Amschel Rothschild and Adam Weishaupt, the two Jews who started the Illuminati, infiltrating Freemasonry and using Freemasonry as a, how should I put it, a subversive tool for creating their dictatorships, okay? Eliminating the opposition, because a lot of these Freemasons, especially the, for those of you who aren't aware, the Skull and Bones, the number 322, represents assassination politics. So if you're in Skull and Bones, you have to, in order to qualify to become a member, you have to actually murder somebody or have somebody whacked to become a full-fledged member, okay? So assassination is part of the game, and politicians begin to realize that this is how the game is played, and so they're very careful not to offend the Jewish mafia if they can avoid it, okay? So Baruch Levy was...
They might have an unfortunate accident.
Yes, they're going to start having accidents really soon. But this was already true in 1928, and Baruch Levy fully understood it. Okay, that's why he could be so confident that the World Republic will fall without difficulty into the hands of the Jews, because they're utterly ruthless, folks, utterly ruthless. It will then be possible for the Jewish rulers to abolish private property by taxing it away from us, right? And everywhere to make use of the resources of the state. Yeah, because they totally control the state. Thus,
yeah, you don't own your car. You rent your car from the state. You have to license it, don't you?
Right.
Those are
right.
Your roads out there, and you have a right to travel. And if you have to have a driver's license to operate your vehicle and travel on the road to pay road tax. And then there's a tax on this and a tax on that. On and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, and if you buy it on credit, the mortgage company really owns it until the very last payment. You probably wrecked it before that time, right? Thus,
or will wore the, out.
Yes, or wore it out. So what we see is the protocols of the learned elders of Zion being fulfilled right here without being mentioned, right?
Fully in play, right there.
Thus, he says, will the purpose of the Talmud be fulfilled, in which it is said that when the Messianic time has come, the Jews will have all the property of the whole world in their hands. Okay? So this is a very revealing quote, because this was actually a letter he sent to Karl Marx, who was a subversive communist Jew. And we know that communist Jews and banker Jews have always worked together, the bankers financing the communists at all points to eliminate the white opposition, the white Christian opposition.
Well, people have been under the mistaken impression that communism and capitalism are very, very different. They are both shadow
governments.
Methods employed yes. by these people to achieve the same end.
Right. Yes. Total deception.
They have different names and different methodologies, but like purposes.
Right. Well, now capitalism, per se, is when the Jews create the money and spend it into circulation. Free enterprise and or the American system under our U.S. Constitution is when the government puts the money into circulation, not Jews. Therefore, the money does not collect interest for any Jewish banksters and does not go into their pockets so they can create more wars. Okay? And this is why the Rothschilds assassinated Abraham Lincoln, because he created the greenback, which earned no interest for Jewish banksters. And that's why they assassinated John F. Kennedy, because he was planning and actually had issued some Treasury certificates, which would also bypass the Federal Reserve.
My question to you is, how much free enterprise is going on these days?
Oh, very little. Very little. And any politician who tries to inaugurate it will likewise be whacked, just as Lincoln and Kennedy were.
Unfortunate accident. Yes.
Yes, they all have unfortunate accidents when they contradict the Jewish rule. He continues, it would actually take several volumes to fully discuss the Jewish domination in the areas discussed. Many other areas could also be discussed in which Jewish influence and dominion exists over the white Christian nations. For example, religion, media, culture, laws, and education. The manner in which Jews have gained dominion over these areas has been a mystery to most. But, as the Jew Marcus Eli Ravage states, the dominion is a reality, quote, you Christians make much noise and fury about the undue Jewish influence in your theaters and movie palaces. Very good. Granted, your complaint is well-founded. But what is that compared to our staggering influence in your churches, your schools, your laws, and your governments, and the very thoughts you think every day through the media, which you didn't mention? We took you in hand and pulled down the beautiful and generous structure you had reared and changed the whole course of your history. Now, this is a very interesting statement because it totally verifies Genesis 3:14 and 15, which states that the children of Cain will follow behind the children of Adam and eat our dust and bite us at the heels, right? Yep. So just like a snake following a human being around biting at our heels, all right? This is a perfect description of what Genesis 3:14 and 15 actually state. We conquered you as no empire of yours ever subjugated Africa or Asia. And we did it all without armies, without bullets, without blood or turmoil. That isn't exactly true, because they forced us into wars to weaken us, without force of any kind. We did it solely by the irresistible might of our spirit, with ideas and with propaganda. And that is certainly true in the main, the irresistible might of their deceptive spirit, with their satanic ideas, and with their ceaseless propaganda. I would have to agree with that 100%. The only exception being that there was a lot of force employed, especially.
Well, they brag on themselves and their own modus operandi, and it has never changed.
No.
It's been the same since the beginning. And yes. Yahweh warned us of this.
Yes, and we haven't paid attention.
Well, because we haven't paid attention to a lot that Yahweh said.
That's right.
We're still in rebellion. We are rebellious people. We've always been a rebellious people. And that's why we are in dispersion today. And we keep looking to these man-made governments to bail us out. Trump, 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 Trump. There's only one way out of this, and that is with Yeshua as king. And no man-made government at all. And it'll be very clear if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, what's going to happen when he comes back. When he sets foot on this planet, every government in the world will fall. Not just in United States. All governments will fall. There will be a kingship established.
That's right. That's right.
Worldwide, one king, one rule, one law, and those that have
total dominion.
Opposed him and reviled him and harmed his chosen people, Israel, the true Israelites,
right,
which is us, those people are toast.
That's right.
And that's what they don't want to hear.
Right.
They don't want to hear that. And they don't preach this in the Judeo-Christian churches.
Of course not.
They don't dare because they're part and parcel of it.
That's right. That's right. He says next, Israel's rule, and by Israel he means the Adamic white race, the Caucasian people, not the Jews. Israel's rule and dominion on the earth was to weaken when in transgression to God's laws, quoting Deuteronomy 28:44, the stranger shall be the head and you shall be the tail. So I think this is a really good mark of Israel, differentiating us between us and the Edomites, because it's quite obvious that we whites no longer control any of our nations. The stranger that is, it says, the stranger that is within you, he left that part out. The stranger within you, meaning they have wormed their way in like a parasite, shall be the head.
Infiltrator. Yeah.
Yes, the infiltrators. We thus have to ask who has control. This is why it's important to pay attention, pay really a close attention to the exact wording of the scriptures. Because little details like that, the stranger within you, not just the plain old stranger, a stranger could be an invader, but these people are infiltrators, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Infiltrators first. We thus have to ask who has control and dominion over who in this world. It is the white race that is losing its power and sovereignty to the Edomite Jews, just as predicted by Isaac to Esau Edom. It is the white race that has been put under financial bondage to the Jew monetary system. It is the white race that must now live under Jewish laws and governments. It is the white nations, Germany, America, England, that the Jews have tricked into giving them money, aid, and technology to support their anti-Christian and bastardized state in Palestine. And it is our...
Whoa, lay it on the line, dude!
Yeah, right? Yeah, isn't it nice to hear truth so clearly and accurately and concisely
from a one scene liner.
From a one scene liner.
This guy's a one scene liner.
Yeah, slap
and
that
he's got
man.
It down.
Yes, slap that guy for not being a two scene liner. But let's continue. And it is our political leaders who are controlled by Jew advisors and lobbying groups. This is all due to the legacy of the two races and Genesis 3:15, where this was prophesied and reprophesied to Isaac. By Isaac to Jacob and Esau, was it not? So we've got two Old Testament prophecies telling us that there is going to be enmity, right? The hatred that Esau has for Jacob is the same term, enmity, as the enmity stated between the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Adam and Eve, the Adamites. Two great forces have been struggling for dominion in the world. The Edomite Jews have gained the dominion and have broken the yoke of the white race from their necks, as was prophesied to happen with Esau and Jacob. Well said, Charles Wiseman.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Chapter
7. Let me run real quick and get my Apocrypha. You just keep on keeping on. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'll be on page 90, Edom's Revenge. Esau Edom's continual and perpetual hatred and jealousy towards Jacob would inevitably be conveyed into action against him for revenge. That action of revenge would be directed against everything connected with Jacob, against his society, his civilization, his government, his life, his children's lives, and against his God, not to mention our morality. Esau's war against Jacob. Now, this is I've compared this into my own book. By the way, I should plug my book every so often, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. You can get a copy by going to anglo-saxonisrael.com to the store section on that page, on that website. And for $37 postpaid, you can get a copy of my book on this subject, explaining who the Jews are, that they're the children of the devil, and that we whites, especially the Caucasian people, are the descendants of Adam. Adam, the whole lineage, of course, Yahshua, that is Jesus, was an Adamite and a descendant of David, and the Jews are imposters deceiving the whole world. So that in that book, I state it this way, that this blood feud between Esau and Jacob is still in full effect today, except that it's kind of like, what's the feud, the two southern families?
Hatfields and the McCoys.
Oh, yeah, Hatfields and the McCoys, right? Yeah, so it's like the Hatfields versus the Epsteins, but only the Epsteins are aware that there's a feud, right? The Hatfields.
Oh, I got something to read right here that I picked up off the very tag end of the bottom of that chart.
Okay.
This is 2 Esdras 6, verse 7. I answered and said, what will be the dividing of the times, or when will be the end of the first age and the beginning of the age that follows? He said to me, this is Yahweh speaking, from Abraham to Isaac, because from him were born Jacob and Esau, Jacob and Esau, for Jacob's hand held Esau's heel from the beginning. Now Esau is the end of this age.
Uh-huh.
It's coming to an end.
That's right.
And Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows.
Right. After the judgment day. That's
and
when
they're gonna get their clock cleaned.
Right.
And then we're gonna take over again because and again, I say, read 2 Thessalonians mm-hmm. chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, that tells you what's going to happen when Yeshua Messiah returns. It ain't pretty.
No, and it won't be pretty. It's getting really ugly. Society is getting really ugly today under Jewish control and manipulation.
Well, when the grace period ends, folks, and you listen up, you Judeo-Christians out there that are fence sitters.
Yes.
When that grace period ends and the period of wrath comes that they don't like to teach about in your churches, look out.
That's right. You better be on the right side.
Those of the remnant that call upon the name of Yahweh will be saved, and the other ones that don't acknowledge Yahweh won't be saved. I don't care how long you've been going to your church.
Yes, John 5:29 puts it very precisely. Some will be resurrected unto eternal life. Others will be resurrected unto eternal damnation. It is not true what the churches teach that we're all saved at the cross 2,000 years ago. That is theological gibberish, garbage. Does not belong.
That's good business, though.
Yeah, it's good business, though, yes. They learn well from the Jews. All right, they know what puts butts in his pews.
They're controlled by the Jews.
Yeah, right. Esau's war against Jacob. God's script assigns to Esau, Edom, or the Edomites the role of being a warlike people. This was revealed in Isaac's prophecy of Esau in stating, "And by thy sword shall you live," Genesis 27:40. The sword is often used in Scripture as being symbolic for war and slaughter. This is personified in the red horse of Revelation 6:4, which signifies war and the ability to cause war. Who is it that Esau Edom would want to use the sword on or bring war upon? The one he hates and desires to take revenge on, that being Jacob Israel, namely the Caucasian people. It was Jacob that Esau desired to kill because Jacob had taken away the blessings and the birthright from Esau. Now, that's not exactly true.
Nope. Okay. No, it is not.
Yes, because Esau sold his birthright to Jacob of his own free will. Okay? And we covered that one or two shows ago. It's just Jacob merely made the suggestion, sell me this day your birthright. And Esau said, okay, give me a bowl of pottage and I'll sell you my birthright. Okay, and he did, all right? So once having sold his birthright legally, Jacob became the de facto firstborn son, okay? Which means he's the leader of the household upon the death of the father. So Esau gave up that right to be the leader of the household. Plus, he had already intermarried with Hittite women, which is another strike against him, and which, as in the case of Judah and his Canaanite wife, none of the half-breed sons of Judah qualified to be leaders of Israel. So they were all excluded, okay? So for the same reasons, Esau is excluded, because he was an unrepentant race mixer, all right? And so when it was time for Isaac to give the blessing, every indication we have is that Isaac was not aware that Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob, and Yahweh arranged for the impersonation, even through Rebekah, because
he inspired her. He certainly did.
Yes, yes.
And he made that transaction prosper.
That's right, exactly. So that Esau himself would not gain the blessing either, because he didn't deserve it, because he had already sold his birthright and was totally rebellious anyway. Okay? So he quotes now here Genesis 26, 36, and 41. And he, Esau, said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob?" Which means supplanter. "For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning," that is mourning or sorrow, "for my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother." So it was Esau's intention to kill his brother Jacob from that moment forward. And the Jews have been doing this to our race ever since. Because we have lost our awareness of who we are, but the Jews have not lost their awareness that they're Esau Edom, have they?
No, sir. And also, because of our apostasy, we have brought this on ourselves, and we are voices crying in the wilderness here at EFR, trying to get those in the Judeo-Christian churches to come out of them and come back to the pure worship of Yahweh and start obeying his laws again, which they claim were nailed to the cross, but were not.
Yes.
We don't do this because we hate them. We hate what they're teaching, which is Jewry.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't hate the people. We grieve about the people, and we work and work and work to try to wake them up. We want them to wake up and join us in the remnant.
The Adamites will work by the sweat of their brows. The Jews do no such thing. Right? So we fulfill the marks of Adam and Jacob fully. The Jews fulfill the marks of Cain and Esau. It's very obvious, folks. Anyway, continuing, Esau's loss of both his birthright and blessings to Jacob became the basis of a plot to kill his brother. At one time, Esau told his son to take, was that Amalek he asked to do that? I don't remember. "To take thy sword in thy hand and pursue Jacob and lurk for him and slay him with the sword." That's in Jasher 29:31. I'm so impressed with his knowledge of the Apocrypha. Very, very few theologians have anything to do with the Apocrypha, even though the Apocrypha shed so much light on the Bible. Esau was angered when this plot failed. Years later, when Jacob entered into the land of Esau, he prayed to God to deliver me from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, Genesis 32:11. On hearing of Jacob's arrival, Esau raised 400 armed men to fight against Jacob. But the Lord put fear and kindness toward Jacob in the hearts of Esau and his men. Again, Jasher 32:57. Okay? None of this contradicts the scriptures at all. Totally consistent with the scriptures, providing more information. The first time that the descendants of Esau, the Amalekites, encountered Jacob's descendants, Israel, the descendants of Esau fought against Israel without cause, Exodus 17:8. And they still fight against us without cause today.
I think that is a misprint. I think he meant Edomites.
Okay.
Because the next paragraph says encountered Edomites.
Okay.
Because they weren't the Amalekites, they were the Edomites.
Yeah. Okay.
With which had bred with the Hittites.
Right. Okay. Well, the Amalekites were one of the offshoot tribes of Esau, okay, known as the most violent of them all, okay? So, but yeah, they're still Edomites, whether Amalekites specifically or not. When the Israelites were on their journey to Canaan, they once again encountered Edomites. The Edomites refused to allow Israel passage through their land and threatened to use the sword upon them. Again, now quoting Numbers 20:18, and Edom said unto him, Israel's ambassador, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against you with the sword. So you're not entering our territory. You're going to have to go around us. Otherwise, we'll kill you. All right? And that's not a neighborly thing to do.
Right? Not a brotherly thing to do either.
There you go. Edom was an adversary and enemy of Israel throughout the Old Testament scriptures. When Saul was king of Israel, the Edomites were regarded as one of his enemies who had fought against him. They continued to be enemies against David, but he eventually conquered the land of Edom, put garrisons in it, making all the Edomites David's servants. Now this, okay, yes, he mentions it here. As it was foretold by Yahweh, the elder, that is Esau, shall serve the younger, that is Jacob. And this is the first fulfillment of that prophecy. And this prophecy went on being fulfilled until 1815, when the Jews were advisors, moneylenders, doctors, and otherwise servants to the descendants of Israel throughout history. From this moment until 1815, when Napoleon let the Jews out of the ghettos and enabled the Jews to therefore take dominion over us. Would that not be the case, Pastor Steve?
Well, they had financial influence, and they got to Napoleon.
Yes.
Everybody thinks Napoleon was such a great guy. It was my understanding that Napoleon was a Freemason.
Yes. Yeah, so he was under the control of the Jews, whether he realized it or not.
Well, he was in that cult, which has expanded and changed over the years.
Yes.
As Jewry changes to suit its needs.
Yes. Well, here's an interesting thing. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it was the French Revolution that utterly destroyed Christian civilization in France. I don't think it has even recovered. They may have churches in France, but they had utterly destroyed white Christian civilization in France. And it was the leaders of the French Revolution who were Freemasons under the control of the Jewish Illuminati that started making war against its neighbors. Okay? All right? So, and because this was failing, Napoleon came along, and then he took over France's military but continued the war against France's neighbors. So Napoleon was not a good guy at all. There's no way you can spin it to make Napoleon a good guy. He was just he was just a very competent general. That's all he was. And then so he was supported by the Jews early on because he was continuing the work of the revolution, but he became the dictator in the meantime. All right? So having become a dictator, he ultimately turned against the Jews when he realized they were financing the other side, his enemies, well, all right?
That's their modus operandi. They financed both sides of all these wars.
That's right.
They gain great influence with the victor, who they financed.
Right.
And the losing nations, they rush in there and gut it and absolutely bleed it dry.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it got to the point, because everybody should know about Meyer Amschel's Rothschild's five sons, and one of whom, James, who was the head of the Rothschild Bank in Paris, and Nathan, who was the head of the Rothschild Bank in London, and there was one in Italy, in Vienna, and I forget the other place, but they had five banks all together. And what James Rothschild was doing in France was stealing money from France and secreting it out of the country and giving it to England so that England could make war against Napoleon. All right? All under Napoleon's nose. He had no idea that this was going on. So eventually he befriended the Jews early on, and then ultimately realized that the Jews were his biggest enemy, and turned against them, but it was too late. By the time he realized how evil the Jews were, it was too late, and he could not do anything about it. Okay, so during the reign of Jehoshaphat of Judah, the Edomites joined forces with the Ammonites and the Moabites to invade and conquer Judah. But Edom's plans were foiled by Yahweh when he caused the tribes of Ammon and Moab to turn on the Edomites and slay them. Oh, we need to have another episode like this, don't we?
Man.
Yeah, because, you know, aren't they making forces with the blacks and the Arabs?
Now, haven't they been using the blacks against us? And now, because they've been posing as white people, they're having to deny. Oh, no, I'm a Jew.
No, we're
not
white. We're Jewish.
Because the blacks are whipping up on them and stabbing and mutilating and burning their businesses and.
That's right.
Yeah, these whiteys, we're going to burn them down. Well, okay.
And Arabs don't have any love
for Jews
either.
No, I'm not white. I'm a Jew.
Yeah, so the...
Yeah, this but God can't say you are children of the devil and you're a parasite.
Yeah, right.
We're going to burn you anyway.
That's right. So it looks like the game plan here is actually, even though this is a historical event, it's actually a prophecy. Where you can say Ammon is the blacks and Moab is the Arabs, especially Arab Muslims, who are being employed by the Jews to attack us and who are, in fact, turning against the Jews as we speak, right? As soon as the Jewish money system begins to fail.
The thing is, Eli, these people have victimized the entire world.
That's right.
And the world is becoming Jew savvy, and they're not going to have any place to run.
That's right.
They've burned their bridges with everybody.
Yes,
everybody
yes,
hates them.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what Obadiah says in the prophecy? That you will control nations, but they will conspire against you? So, having realized...
Goes around, comes around.
That's right. Once there's a point, and I think we're heading to that point very soon, where Jewish money can no longer buy loyalty. All right? It's just not
how many countries have defaulted on their international debt? How many countries are kicking out the banksters now?
Right.
Several.
Yes.
I mean, you can't make war on the whole world.
Yeah, well, Russia no longer has Jewish banksters running its country. Certainly Iran doesn't. Iraq tried it, but when Iraq tried it, and Libya tried it, when those two countries tried it, they sent the military, the Esau shall live by the sword, to take over those countries and assassinate its leaders, who never made war against America, right? Did Libya attack America at any time in our history? No. But the Jews pretended that they're a threat to our democracy, right? Our way of life. Same excuse.
Well, that's
for
what their media said. They own that completely. That's 100% occupated.
So
they're occupied.
So this is going to history is going to repeat itself with the Ammonites and the Moabites being represented by the Arabs and the blacks. This is coming, folks, and you can throw in the Mexicans as well. All right. All right, because of the blessing of the birthright which Israel now had, they could easily prevail over Edom and make them a vassal state. These events only added further cause for Edom to take revenge out on Israel. God's script, or Yahweh's script, reveals that Edom will continually try to kill Jacob Israel with the sword or by war out of revenge for his loss of the birthright to Jacob. This desire to war against Jacob was revealed in Yahweh's condemnation against Mount Seir, the Edomite nation. Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir, and here the literal Mount Seir represents the people of Edom, and prophesy against it, because you have had a perpetual hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. And Pastor Steve, with less than 5 minutes to go, I would say that the worst slaughter of Israel by Edom was the Bolshevik Revolution, and where literally conservative estimates say 60 million white Russians were executed, brutally executed and tortured by these evil Bolshevik Jews and other estimates.
Yeah, the Belarus.
Yeah. Yes.
That means white, right Russians.
Right. And then.
And they were Christians.
That's right. That's right. Well, the whole purpose of the Bolshevik Revolution was to slaughter as many whites as they possibly could, which is what they accomplished. Okay. And it was the Jewish
moneylenders. Well, in Russia today, the anti-Jewish sentiment is huge and growing.
And growing, as it should be here. We're going to contribute to that here, folks, at Eurofolk Radio. It is Red Edom that desires to kill Israelites. The patterns of this war against Israel continued on in the scene of the great Red Dragon's war against Christians. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that is, her bloodline, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay. That would be us.
That's only Christian identity, because we're the only ones who keep his commandments and have the testimony.
And again, I say, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 10. It tells you that in there, who is being oppressed.
Yes.
And we will have rest and relief from our oppressors.
Yes, yes.
It tells you that in there. Please read that, folks.
Yes. Yes, and Revelation 17:6, where Apostle John sees how this scarlet woman in Revelation 17:6 was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Of course, this was only a vision he had. He had no idea that this would all literally come to pass. And then who was it that has been at the bottom of so many of the wars in Christendom throughout the centuries? Has it not been the international Jew? I mean, Henry Ford the only one to figure it out?
They promoted all their promoters of war, promoters of homosexuality, promoters of child pornography, child sex slavery. They're behind all of this.
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
Because they are of their father, the devil, and their father's works they do.
Yeah, and they're proud of their evil. They're truly proud of it. Rabbi
Eichhorn. They smirk and they're smarmy and they got that superior attitude.
That's right.
Much longer is that going to hold up?
Right, not very much longer, we hope and pray. All right, with less than 2 minutes left, Rabbi Eichhorn, speaking at the funeral of Grand Rabbi Simeon ben Yehuda in 1869, stated, "Thanks to the terrible power of our international banks, we have forced the Christians into wars without number. Wars have a special value for Jews, since Christians massacre each other and make more room for us Jews. Wars are the Jews' harvest. The Jew banks grow fat on Christian wars. Over 100 million Christians have been swept off the face of the earth by wars, and the end is not yet." That was Rabbi Eichhorn. Those of us who are Jew savvy know that the 100% truth of these words.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely 100% truth of these words. And the end is not yet, so we pray. Let me pray right here, Pastor Steve. Father Yahweh, we in Christian identity, we're tired of this continual slaughter of our people at the hands of these godforsaken Luciferian Jews. Put an end to it now. We can't take another moment of this child porn, this sex slavery, this incessant war, and this total destruction of our culture and civilization. Let it end now. We don't see any reason why you should wait any longer. Do it now. Get it over with. Burn these parasites to toast. In the name of your son, Yahshua, amen.
Amen.
All right, folks, there will be a tomorrow, and I think there's going to be another Yahweh's Covenant people next Friday night. Please tune in, and we're hoping to report the end of all this very, very soon. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition.
All right.